Welcome to Economically Speaking, the information podcast designed to bring you the latest economic development news in the town and the surrounding area. Hosted by Babylon IDA CEO Tom Dolan.
So, welcome to Economically Speaking. I'm your host, Tom Dolan. Today, we want to take a step back and discuss IDAs in general and their role in economic development in New York State and here on Long Island. The purpose of the IDA and what it can actually do tend to be misunderstood, and public perceptions does not always match reality. We hope that if you're listening to an IDA podcast, you already have some sense of what an IDA is. However, it's always great to take the opportunity to refresh and remind everyone, including ourselves, of our mission and our priorities. To be able to accomplish this, today we have a very, very special guest and a friend of the agency. We have Matthew McDonough. He is the founder of McDonough PLLC and the former CEO of the Babylon IDA. Welcome, Matt.
Thank you, Tom. I think this is a three-peat, my third one.
Yeah.
Not bad. Sorry, I was late. I was getting a haircut, but then I reminded myself it's a podcast, so what does that matter?
We're always on the top of mind, I'm sure, right? Matt, maybe we could just start by, I know you've played a couple of different roles here. You continue to play a role here at the IDA. Maybe you could just share with the listening audience a little bit about yourself and the work that you do.
Yeah, as you said, Tom, formerly CEO of the IDA, was there for 6 years, entered private practice. Majority of my clients are municipalities and IDAs, and the downtown of Babylon IDA is one of them. So I serve as special counsel now to facilitate deals and help through other issues that might come up.
Absolutely. And you do a great job with that, Matt.
Thank you, Tom.
And we appreciate that. But before we dive
frame
in.
Frame that endorsement and put that out there.
Of course. Appreciate it. Of course. Well, when you're sitting this close, you'll get that type of but before we dive in, this is a quick reminder that this podcast is not intended to be official, financial, legal, or professional advice. The information shared is only for the purpose of discussion. With that out of the way, let's get started. So, Matt, why don't we kind of go back and look at, you know, how did industrial development agencies come about? You know, they're pretty old, right?
Yeah, they are. It's a response by the legislature. New York State legislature was happening in New York State at the time. So around 1969, the state legislature and governor started the IDA Act. And then about 100 plus entities have been created, either by towns, cities, villages, or counties. Some are more regional in respect than we are. We're just a town IDA, town of Babylon IDA.
Sure.
We were formed in the early 70s, and each IDA has enabling legislation you can find in the general municipal law for each one that's been formed. So it's a response by the legislature and the governor at that time to what was happening in New York State. So industry was leaving. It was going other places. Some of that had to do with cost of labor, cost of utilities and things like that. And guess what? Those are still the same issues that are facing New York State businesses who want to locate here.
Sure.
We lost a lot of the aerospace industry, and it sort of cratered a little bit the economy, particularly here on Long Island. And as a result, we, the IDAs, and there's 8 IDAs on Long Island. It's Babylon, Islip, Brookhaven, Riverhead, Glen Cove, Hempstead, Nassau, and Suffolk. And I don't think I didn't count it out, but I think that's all of them. And our goals and missions have been focusing on the construction of planned industrial parks, or, you know, helping companies locate here. Cannon recently has been in the paper because of its reduction in employment, but that was a big move by the Suffolk IDA to bring them out to Melville.
Sure.
Along further back, Computer Associates. So the IDAs have been able to draw different companies in, but just like the aerospace industry, some of them have left or they've reduced their employment. So it's a time is of the essence. It's a, you know, reactionary agency that has to move fast to make sure that, you know, we are able to attract companies to come here, that they're good corporate citizens, but also the employment that comes with that and the investment they do. So some of it investment when they're buying machinery for their company. Okay, maybe that's produced outside of the state of New York, but construction on the building, those are construction jobs for local tradesmen. So it's an important part of the economic development ecosystem. And for the town and the counties that do have them, particularly here in Babylon, we are the economic development department. And our job is to make sure that we are continually seeing private investment into the town.
Sure. You know, Matt, we've talked about it in the past, and I just want to say, and it's something that you had mentioned about, because, you know, you talk about the attraction of industry and companies to the town. And I think you brought up a really good point as far as, you know, it's not always just about getting the big, huge company, because like you said, with Grumman, I know you gave that example, you know, on another episode about, because when that leaves, that creates a major hole.
Yeah, there's definitely issues that come with those sort of sole source employers when they're that large. It's great when they come in, but when they leave or they downsize, it does create a ripple effect. But it's not about just getting headlines and being in the paper, you know, splashy type stuff. It's really workaday type economic development, constantly going out, reaching out to these companies, and maybe you piece together that loss of employment through 10 IDA deals, but you're still making sure that level of employment is still there in the town of Babylon. And that's what's important.
Sure.
Because there's a multiplier effect there. That's what we always talk about. So there's the company, you know, the direct investment, you know, the number of employees, but what do those employees represent? It represents a resident of the town, it represents a taxpayer, represents someone paying a mortgage. There's definitely effect of that. But then when they go to work, they're going to the delis, they're going to the shops nearby. So
absolutely,
there's definitely another side to beyond what you see in reports about the IDA, which just really focuses on investment and total number of jobs.
Right, always. And you know, you also talked about what comes with that as part of the multiplier effect, how it helps the taxing jurisdiction as far as the bond rating for the town itself.
100%. And that's a big deal, because the ability to borrow affects the interest rate on bonds. And if we want paved roads, if we want the infrastructure projects that we expect from our towns, Babylon's a beautiful place, I say it all the time, most demographically diverse town on the island, has beautiful sand beaches, Gilgo, Oak, Cedar, Overlook, great downtowns, Copaig, the villages of Babylon, Lindenhurst and Amityville. Wyandanch has been a major revitalization project.
Absolutely.
By the IDA.
Sure.
So, yeah, Babylon has a lot to offer.
Sure. So, you know, again, we talked a little bit about the misconception that's out there, but every year the New York State Comptroller releases an IDA performance result looking at how well they are doing across the state. And we had some good results this year. It was great to see.
100%. Yeah, definitely. I mean, that report comes out every year, and it comes from the information that the IDA provides the comptroller. So the IDA has a compliance aspect to it. It's constantly checking in and enforcing its agreements with the companies that come in. And the information that the comptroller needs to sort of assess what, you know, how well the economic development projects are doing is what we're required to get that information from the project and then upload it to the what's called Paris, and then they take that information to generate this report. So this report's yearly. You can check IDAs throughout the state, and you know, the tail of the tape is a lot of the Long Island IDAs have been quite successful, but particularly Babylon. You know, we've always been aggressive about economic development. We have aging industrial stock. You know, most of it built after the World War, some of it built during the 70s, but that's now more than 50 years ago.
Right.
So there has to be a constant reinvestment and renewal. And talking about Wyandanch downtown, some of the other projects we've been bringing on as our mission sort of states about affordable housing.
Sure.
And workforce housing has been multi-residential, transit-oriented developments that are mixed use. And it's been, with those, I think, a success story. We're hearing from businesses, I want to locate here, but there's a high cost of living, and it means my employees can't afford to stay. We responded to those reports with reaching out and doing housing projects throughout the town. That report from the comptroller we have 173 active projects, the town of Avalon IDA, with 1.75 billion in total value and 7,500 new jobs to the town. That's right. New jobs.
That's awesome. So yep.
A tremendous job by you and the staff at the IDA, and then our ecosystem of brokers, lawyers, and other professionals we work with to help attract these businesses to the town.
Sure. You know, and you talked about that, and that was, and actually that was under when you were here as the CEO, I know that was an initiative we had where we actually went out to the business community. And although we wanted to understand a lot, you know, looking at it more holistically, that kept going to the top of the, you know, again, as far as being able to not just the people out of here, the workforce, but to be able to attract, you know, from outside talent.
And that has been a big, so there is the report from the comptroller, and then there's reports that we've done. We've done them with RPA, we've done them with SUNY Farmingdale,
right?
And we've done them with other, you know, National Development Council, now Grow America. And a lot of that information was driven by your discussions at the doors, in the conference rooms, and on the phone with businesses throughout the town of Avalon. Some of them IDA projects, those 173 that the comptroller reported about, but just generally businesses throughout the town.
Sure.
And getting from them, what's your biggest priority? What's the town doing right? What's it doing wrong? Mm-hmm. Most of the time they were complaining about the state. They didn't have much to say about the town, but you know.
I remember that too, yes.
But one of the recurring themes on these projects, particularly where you had people hiring skilled labor, educated labor, Long Island's a great place for that, right? We have great colleges, we have great high schools, we have great BOCES programs, we have, you know, this ecosystem of different educational opportunities for young folks who live here and want to stay here. But the people who are going to employ them know and have heard from them that it's hard to find a place to live.
Sure.
And, you know, compared to the rest of the country, the total number, we have the highest probably home ownership, you know, single family homes.
Right, right.
But we don't have a lot of opportunity there for people who are looking to buy and stay here or rent and stay here.
Right.
It's just, it's unaffordable.
Sure. You know, we, again, as part of our discussion today, you know, we look at the community in which we're servicing, right? And we'll get to that. But also want to talk to the business owner, the developer, the, you know, someone maybe who's listening today. And what are some of the ways in which the IDAs like the Babylon IDA can encourage economic growth in our area here?
So when you reach out to the IDA and eventually become an IDA client, I think one of the most important things is you have a partner in government. And it's really an ability to reach out to the town or the village and help usher you through a entitlements process that's quite complicated. The second, I think, is obviously the financial benefits that you can derive from becoming an IDA client. There's three main financial benefits. The first is called a pilot. It stands for payment in lieu of taxes. The IDA takes leasehold interest. That's just a type of property interest in the property that the either developer or owner operator is going to take. And by having that leasehold interest, the government entity, it becomes tax exempt, the property. The pilot is the agreement that you'll pay a portion of those taxes over a certain term while that property is exempt. So at the IDA, the general one is a 12-year term, starting at 50%. So that means in the first year, the owner or developer would pay 50% of their real estate taxes.
Right.
In the next year, it's a sliding scale. It goes up. They would pay 55 and then 60 and then 65 and then 70, so forth and so on until year 13 when they're out and they're back at full taxes.
Right.
And then the IDA deal terminates. That's the biggest savings. Property taxes, particularly on industrial properties, are quite high. You know, in Suffolk, we haven't increased assessed values. We've frozen them. That's true here in the town of Avalon. If you were to add on to your property, do an addition or something like that, obviously the assessed value would raise.
Sure.
But what has happened is the equalization rate, the factor that the state sets, to say how much the property is worth is the assessed value times that state number equals the value or the purported value of the building. Okay. We've had a red hot real estate market on Long Island, some of that driven by residential during COVID, some of it on the industrial side driven by Amazon and some other large users who needed a lot of industrial space for different reasons.
Sure.
And as a result, the value that the town uses on your property has skyrocketed. So the assessed value has stayed the same, but the equalization rate has risen quite quickly. So that means your property is now valued a lot more than it's probably worth. So that's one of the things. We, just as much as the entitlement process, we also talk with the assessor. Are you being assessed properly?
Sure.
Is there any room or movement on that? But for your tax bill, right, your tax bill is, again, that assessed value number that hasn't changed, times the prevailing tax rate, which is set by all the jurisdictions, the police department, the county, the town, et cetera. And that equals your total tax bill. So we reduce the percentage of the assessed value. That means you have a lower tax bill. Again, real property taxes, they do twice a year. If you don't pay them, they come and take the property. So it's something, it's a dollar amount that's due and owing. There's really no more federal write-off for it or anything like that. So this is a real expense for companies if they're going to come here.
Sure.
Second is the sales tax. Some of the capital improvements they do are already exempt under the sales tax law, but for items that they might be improving their property with that aren't, or things they're going to use on the property for their business, like a forklift, those would be exempt. Best way to illustrate it is the light fixture is sales tax exempt, but the light bulb is not.
Gotcha.
So those are the two major, I think, straight lease transactions. The third is a mortgage recording abatement, which is 1.05%. We abate, I think, 0.075% because we can't take off the MTA part of the fee. So those are the savings. There's obviously a fee to come into the IDA. So if a business is making that decision, we give them a letter of intent, we give them what we think is the cost-benefit analysis for that. They can weigh it.
Sure.
And if they're interested, they would proceed with an application.
Sure.
Some of the larger developers, though, on top of what our fee would be, they also should know that there's probably going to be a community benefit agreement related to their project. And we have a fiduciary responsibility to all the taxing jurisdictions, but to the people of the town of Avalon to make sure if there is some impact on the community, we get some type of community benefit from the developer. And we've done that successfully over the years. We used some of that money during COVID-19 to assist businesses and people who needed housing and things like that.
Sure.
And then we talk to all the stakeholders, just like we do during the IDA process, sort of get feedback about what makes sense, what can we do. And I think that's just another thing that people should be aware of. The other item that we offer is a revenue bond. The revenue bond, we've done three of them in the last year. One was with NCON, who purchased new garbage trucks for the town. The second was the East Farmingdale Fire Department. They had made improvements and retired some old debt to their firehouses. And then the last one was with the Academy Charter School in Wynandanch. So the charter school that was recently built is now complete.
Right.
They got it done in record time. So it will be open, I think, for the September school year. And those are the three bonds we did. But what happens with those bonds is because the IDA is the issuer, you're going to see a lower interest rate on the money you're borrowing. So that's an advantage to you, particularly as interest rates have risen.
Well, that's what I was going to say. We're seeing a lot more of that because of the climate.
Exactly.
The other thing, just real quickly, too, and I think it's important that business owners know, is that our partners in economic development, energy is a mm-hmm. big thing to a lot of the manufacturers. And maybe you could just touch base on like some of the audits and the things that they can
Correct.
Do.
So I think one of the first things we always do when you come and meet with us, because we might be your first connection to, quote unquote, an economic development arm of government, is we introduce you to all our partners. That includes National Grid, it includes PSE&G, it includes NYPA and New York State ESD. They all have myriad of programs, as Tom was saying, power in particular. So your utilities, again, another big cost, particularly for high demand users. And there are all sorts of programs that PSE&G and that grid provide to our to their clients and our clients. And one of the hooks for those benefits is that you be an IDA client. So that's part of the networking benefit of being with the IDA.
Sure. You know, I just want to remind the listening audience too, please, if you, you know, and kind of putting this out to Matt at the same time, even if you don't qualify for an IDA benefit, but you have some questions as it relates to maybe a program or something that you'd like to do. And an example of that is, you know, we don't do a retail. We don't really work with retail businesses, but there are a lot of programs with the our partners in economic development for businesses that are located in the downtown. So, you know, reach out to us. And again, we'll give all our contact information at, by the end. And we'll also, you can look and we'll have it in our show notes as far as contact information. But I just want to encourage people to reach out. If and just we can maybe sometimes just be that resource for you to help you out. You know, we hear a lot about pilots in the local news. Let's talk a little bit about what are they? And you kind of explained that a little bit when you went through your process and then some of the public misconceptions that come along with that.
So I think one of the big things with pilots is the developer or the business will be paying something. It's not a complete abatement of the taxes. They're going to pay a certain percentage. Those who are improving the property, we have an agreement with them that the taxing jurisdictions will never see a dollar less than what they're currently collecting. So if they come in and improve a blighted property, and that blighted property is only paying $10,000 in taxes, we're not going to abate that $10,000. That $10,000 becomes the base of the pilot.
Right.
And that means the developer always has to pay at least that, plus an incremental increase on what he's improving the property by. So for budgeting reasons, whether it's a school district or another local jurisdiction, they have the benefit to know that they'll never see a dollar less than what they're currently collecting. And for budgeting purposes, that's important.
Sure. Let's move on a little bit. I want to talk a little bit about how our economic inclusion plan program, and maybe we can just kind of share, you can kind of share with us how that started and where we are with that.
Sure. So the economic inclusion plan was started in 2020. It's going strong still. It's abbreviated sometimes as EIP. The BabylonEIP.com is the website if you'd like to visit and take a look a little bit more into the programs. But we give assistance to minority, women, and veteran-owned businesses throughout the town of Babylon. So whether you're a resident looking to start a business or you're a business here, you know, we'd like to hear from you. And it's an opportunity to network with other MWBE, that's the Minority Women and Veteran-Owned Business Enterprises, to talk about what's going on, what opportunities are there out there. The second thing, and I think the most valuable, is we have assistance from professionals and consultants to help with the MWBE certification or business formation.
Sure.
And that's done pretty much free of charge. You do have to cover any type of fees that the state sets out, but, you know, everything else is pretty much covered. You know, it does involve some time and some work with those folks, but it's definitely something that's worthwhile because of the infrastructure money that's come out from the federal government, because of things like the casino or wind power or these other large scale projects. Private industry will be issuing RFPs that will have an MWBE component.
Gotcha.
Additionally, state work always has an MWBE component. So a prime contractor bids for it. That prime contractor could be an MWB. It doesn't have to be. But their subs or a percentage of the work has to be completed by MWBE. There are waivers to that, but I think the state is making more of a concerted effort to make sure that they're not giving out waivers and that that's work actually being done by the MWBEs. So the EIP program has been going for now 4 years. We have done all sorts of assistance programs, loan programs, networking, educational programs and then help with certification and formation. And as a result, we've seen a lot of businesses in Babylon or residents from Babylon who are creating their own business hit that next step. So it's a bit of a springboard to make that next level.
Right.
And we're hoping those people that do come back and offer that assistance and knowledge as well.
Sure. And it has been successful. And again, go to our show notes at the end and we'll have that contact information. I want to move on to the public perspective, the community support. Now, we aren't just here to help businesses. Ultimately, we are here for our town, our community, our neighbors. The Babylon IDA does business on their behalf. And maybe you can just kind of elaborate a little bit on that.
Sure. I mean, I said it a few minutes ago, but we have a fiduciary responsibility to the taxing jurisdictions, the towns, the school districts, the fire departments. We also have the people of the town of Babylon.
Sure.
And we look, when we incentivize a business to come here, are they going to be good corporate neighbors? They're always going to be making the investment. They're always going to be hiring people. But what's their stake and investment in the town of Babylon? And we did see during COVID-19, several of those businesses step up. You know, we have cosmetics producers who came through and did hand sanitizers and that we distributed to the community. Aerospace producers turned over their equipment to make face shields. We distributed those to the barbers and hairdressers throughout the town, which was a requirement under the COVID rules when they first came out. So when there was an emergency in the town, they responded.
Sure.
And then 10 years prior to COVID was Sandy. That was another sort of devastating event for the town. And again, our corporate businesses came together and during Camp Bulldog and other type events, donated food, donated money, donated clothes to help people get back on their feet. So I think that's the first thing, that they've been good corporate neighbors.
Sure.
The second is those community benefits we talked about. So sometimes we ask for direct money to assist certain areas in the community. One of them, Copaig Commons, which was built by Conifer, it's a 90 housing affordable unit built in the downtown of Copaig. It's one of the first under the downtown revitalization initiative there. And they gave a community benefit. They gave money for the fire department towards a new truck. They gave to the school and the library, but they also gave to a facade improvement program.
Mm-hmm.
And the facade improvement program was a multiplier in its own self. So we required an application from businesses located around that building who wanted to improve the outward look of their building. New windows, new facade, obviously, new fascia, new, you know, ethos, whatever it was.
Sure.
And, you know, about 30 some odd businesses took that grant money with their own money because there was a requirement that they match. If they gave us a dollar, but we gave them a dollar, they had to match it with three.
Right.
So for every dollar he got from Conifer to put into that program, there was a private investment of three additional dollars.
Sure.
And as a result, you know, downtown Copaig has gone through a bit of a transformation. If this, it's not a new building, it's been rehabbed and it's changed the feel and the look of the downtown in a very positive way. So that was one of the other things that clients do.
Sure.
Obviously, there's the direct support to different programs that we have in the town, Hometown Heroes, the banners. If a family couldn't afford to have one of their loved ones put on the banners, not only the IDA sponsored that, but so did clients. Wounded Warrior, our client, provides all the food for the barbecue at the end.
Sure.
We reach out to all our clients. We ask them to contribute to Wounded Warrior. I think over the years, the business community, along with the IDAs, the IDA helps match some of that money. We've given more than $150,000 just to Wounded Warrior.
Sure.
And some of the staff rode in the Wounded Warrior ride. So
right.
And there's been other community fundraisers and sponsorships, and the IDA steps in and writes a check to make sure those things can happen.
Absolutely. I just came to the Lindenhurst Youth Center was another
one, and it is.
It's great to be here, but the business community is great in their response, no doubt. You know, before I go, I wanted to, first of all, Matt, thanks so much for stopping by and being here today. You do such a great job in putting that together as far as explaining what exactly we do. Do you have any final thoughts or anything you'd like to share? Anything you're currently working on with the town? Or
some of the good work that the IDA does is in behind the shadows in terms of donations. I mean, even the beach blast, the fireworks at the end, it's a $20,000 plus display. That's covered by the IDA. So there's a lot of things that we do. We don't promote ourselves and put our name out there. You know, you don't need to see the IDA logo everywhere to understand. But parades, downtown events, Kiwanis,
absolutely,
all these fraternal civic organizations, when they need some type of assistance, they've come to us and we've been able to help. And that's, you know, I think what is one of the prouder
Yes,
for us, but we don't splash it out there.
Exactly. So but we're going to make sure this podcast gets out
there.
That's for sure. I'll be up at the top of the building today, screaming out the window. But Matt, again, I want to thank you so much for being here today. I want to thank our listening audience for tuning in, and want to remind everybody that, you know, we're always looking to continue to explore these types of ideas and topics that will help and help educate the community. If you have anything you'd like us to share or something to do a deep dive into, please reach out to us. Again, we're at the BabylonIDA.org. That's BabylonIDA.org. And reach out to us, and we'll be more than happy to discuss with you. Also, if you're a business owner and you're in need of assistance, or you'd like a resource to figure something out, please reach out to us. Again, I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. Again, my name is Tom Dolan. You've been listening to Economically Speaking. Have a great day, everyone.
This episode of Economically Speaking podcast was brought to you by the Town of Babylon IDA. To find out more information about today's topic, our guest, or to simply stay connected, please visit the show notes, where you'll find all the relevant links.